Okay, it's good to be back. My first slide there says, our God is greater. So this is the theme for the series or for this next month or so. And basically this is, we're going to be talking about how to handle the challenges of life. You might ask, why? Why would we want to speak about the challenges of life? I have come to know that life is like a... Life is like a... Life is like a boxing match. And sometimes you get knocked out. And I have seen people who do not get up again. I've been in the ministry for now, say, 12 years. And over these years, I've seen Christians getting knocked out. I see people getting knocked out. And many of them don't stand up again. Many of them actually don't get up again. And so I want to share with you some of my stories of how I got knocked out. And I barely made it. So I want to help you to make it. Who wants to make it? We need to. Just in this week, I've heard of people who've walked away, turned away, gave up. Not necessarily this church, but other churches. And so we're going to start this morning, we're going to speak about the valley of failure. How do you handle failure? Are you able to handle failure? How do you respond to it? You see, we have different giants that come against us. Now, one of the big giants is failure. This giant comes against us, and how we handle this giant will determine if we fulfill our destiny or not. Because failure will come and knock on our doors at some stage. I really feel God is saying this is a new season that's starting today. And I had an incredible week. Last week, Saturday, Sunday evening, I was ministering at Shofar Cape Town. Monday evening, I was ministering at the MTP program in Stellenbosch. It's 20-plus people that are about to step into full-time ministry. So I had to teach them about how to birth the church through prayer and intercession. And I was just told some stories of what God has been doing. And it was incredible to see. It was weird to hear, to chat to them afterwards. The next day, the one one man, I found him in a queue at the kiosk. And he looked at me and said, "You're different. You're different. There's something different about you. You know, that wasn't just talking about the, you know, prayer and intercession. That was deliverance. That was..." Then the people that were just weeping under the presence and the power of God as God flooded the house. And so there was this young man, and the one man, it was the first wedding I ever did. His name is Jakes, and he was at Shofar Tigerberg years ago. So I know him from 7 years ago or so. And he said when he saw that I'm going to be speaking and ministering, he was so excited. "Ah, it's Andre, I know him." And then afterwards he came to me with tears running down his face and said, "I don't know you. This is the new you. You've changed." Now, what has changed? I overcame a few giants along the way. And I've encountered God in a way that has changed me. And I believe God wants to do the same for all of us. So many of you sitting here this morning are not the same people as a year ago or 2 years ago. God has changed you. God has touched you. He has transformed you. And I guess that's the test. Have you encountered God? Have you been changing for the better? And so I want to share with you a few things, but the key verse is Luke chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. We're going to break it down over these 4 weeks. And the verse before that, which isn't on the screen, it speaks of John the Baptist. And it says, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. So there was a man who was in the desert. And in 300 years, there have been no miracles in Israel. No prophets. It's been quiet. The heavens have been bronze. And then suddenly it says, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. And then suddenly, a few weeks ago, we spoke about, it says, and since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. But when John started to speak his word in the heavenlies, things started to shift. Things started to change. It's like light and darkness started to clash. And then just a little bit later on this verse, in verse 4, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. So John came to prepare the way of the Lord. It says, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled. Say valley. This morning we're going to be speaking about the valley of failure. And every mountain and hill brought low. Next week, speaking about the mountains, man's opinion that comes against us. Then the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. How do we overcome the giants out there in our lives, in the business world, maybe in our marriages or relationships? How do we overcome the challenges out there? The giants. How do we overcome that? You must first overcome the giant on the inside. You must first overcome the giant on the inside. Years ago, there was an advert about Cremora. Top of the coffee creamers. I still remember. It's amazing. Big, good marketing. And then there's the scene where the guy, the husband, is looking for his Cremora. Honey, where is the Cremora? And so he's looking in the inside of the fridge, and he's looking and looking and looking, and in the end it says, it's not inside, it's on top. Cremora, top of the coffee creamers. I must get a kickback for that. But I want to swap it around. The challenge, the giant is on the inside. The giant is not on the outside. The mountain is on the inside. The mountain is not on the outside. If you overcome on the inside, you will overcome on the outside. And so I want to share with you a few things around this. The valley of failure is a graveyard for many. The valley of failure is a graveyard for many. But I believe it's the birthplace of the mighty. It's the birthplace of those who change the world. If you can get through it. Look at how many business people would tell you how many failures they've had until they had the breakthrough. They say on average, business people fail 3.8 times. Their businesses go bankrupt 3.8 times before they actually get their breakthrough. How many people have given up after the first time they failed? How many people give up after that first time? So failure, let me ask this. Anybody failed here? Any one of us ever failed? Please raise your hand if you have failed. Just want to make sure I'm speaking to the right people. Okay, good. The valley of failure is a graveyard for many, but it's the birthplace of the mighty for those who overcome. Okay, so we need a perception change. You see, failure speaks loudly to us. You know, when you have failed, it speaks to us. It ministers to us. It's the voices we hear. We are reminded of our failures that have come before, whether it be a business that went bankrupt, a marriage that went south, a relationship that fell apart, or whatever it might be. But it speaks to us. And as I said, I think it's, yes, you are in a boxing match. You know what's why failure is so horrible? When you handle it wrong? Because after a while, you find that you're hitting yourself. It's no longer the opposition that's beating you up. You're beating yourself up. You take a right to take a left, and then you start kicking yourself when you're down, reminding yourself. So this giant of failure starts tormenting us, and it's extremely personal. Extremely personal when we fail, because I'll get to that in a moment. But I want to share just some sort of my journey. You know, I want to share in the context of our God is greater. Since I've become a believer, I have actually believed or taken the word of God as it is. I believe my God is powerful. My God can do anything. So I studied engineering, and while I was studying engineering, I went on missions trips, and I stepped out and saw great miracles, saw amazing things happening. My faith was growing. Then the Lord spoke to me. I went into the ministry, a youth pastor. We saw one young person within a year go to 120-plus young people in Stellenbosch, and God was doing great things. Many of those young people are still serving the Lord today, 10 years later. And so I praised God for that, but I was like, going, and then I went to the next opportunity, student pastor at Shofar Tigerberg, Belleville, near Cape Town. And this is how I'm wired. I want to step out. I want to trust God. I want to, you know, I believe my God is powerful. And so I remember this one lady, she was on staff with us. We're only 3 or 4 staff members. One lady called Kathy. She was on staff with us. And then she got bad back pains and things, and then they tested and they found she's got cancer in her back, and she has 6 months to live. And she's in the office with me. I mean, there's 3 of us, 4 of us, you know. It's like, it's really, really personal. And so I remember the one evening, one Sunday, I was supposed to preach the next Sunday. So in the worship, I felt the Lord speak to me and say, next Sunday, preach on healing. So I've never preached on healing. I've never done a healing service. But here I announced to the church, I'm not the senior pastor, I'm the assistant, okay? You don't do that. So I announced next Sunday we're going to do a healing service and we're going to trust God. And I was just thinking, I'm just seeing Kathy. I'm just saying, what can we lose? You know, we've got 6 months, so let's step out. Let's trust God as a congregation. And at that stage, I maybe saw 1 or 2 people over the years healed. So the next Sunday, I mean, we've just found out a week before that she has cancer. She's got 6 months to live. And so that Sunday, I prayed my heart out that week. I'm crying out to God, Lord, I've never seen you do this, but please, come. And so that evening with the service, they put a mattress at the back of the church because she was in such pain that she couldn't sit. She had to lie down at the back of the church. I preached my heart out. And then 2 people walked with her, helped her to the front. And now we're going to pray together as a church. Man, everyone's crying. It was very, very emotional. And so I prayed for her, nothing happened. And then we started to pray for others. Lord started to give me words of knowledge, and other people started to get healed and started to testify. And it was awesome. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to press on. We've got 6 months. We're going to do this. Tuesday night, that's the Sunday evening. Tuesday evening, she dies. It was traumatic. The whole church was shattered. You know, we have never spoken about healing. There have been no build-up, no education, no training, no nothing. And here she died. Oh, now that was failure. That was, I was in trouble for that and a few other things because of a few different reasons. But I remember I was at the funeral a few days later, a week later. I remember I was hiding away at the back. I was so ashamed of the way people were disappointed, the way, and it was like I lost this match. It's like, never again will I do this. Never again will I step out. Never again will I, it was just, it's amazing how your thoughts, looking back now, I'm thinking, I was silly, man. Why are you overreacting like that? But in the moment, it's like, failure gives you a hit and you're out. And a few other things happened as well in my life, and I messed up in ministry, not morally speaking, just made a few mistakes. And I remember sitting with some of my leaders and them telling me, I've been in the ministry then for five, six years. And I remember them telling me, you don't have anointing on your life. You should just do admin. And I was demoted, so I was asked then to take a personal assistant position to my best friend at Bible school. Now, I've got a master's in engineering. I'm thinking, stuff this, you know. It's like, I can do more with my life than this. But the Lord spoke to me and said, this is your test. Can you humble yourself? Can you take it on the chin? Can you hear what people are saying, even your leaders are saying, but can you hear what I am saying of you? And so it was my valley of failure. I fell into a sense of depression, hopelessness. At least for 6 months, I was really down and out. Really down and out. And then after a year or two, I remember this one time. Let me not tell the rest of the story yet. I'll get to the rest in a moment. But I gave up. I was in my valley of failure. And I've seen so many people hit that moment and then they walk away from their destiny. They walk away from their calling. If I walked away, this church, we would not have been here. This would not have happened. And it is the ultimate test. So I'm gonna give to the solution in a moment. Let's look at the valley of failure. What is the effect of it? The valley of failure, the giant of failure comes to you and says, you are the problem. You are the problem. Okay? Failure becomes an identity issue. It's not that you failed, you are a failure. So you start speaking these words of your own life. I'm horrible at relationships. This doesn't work and that doesn't work. I can't do it. And in that place where I was at, I was saying, I'm not called to lead a pastor. I'll never lead a church. I'll probably never do this. I gave up. I gave up for a season. Do you know what's our response to failure? If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you've tried. That's how we relate to failure. If you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you've tried. We are so afraid to admit failure. I like telling my failures because I can tell you the victories afterwards. Failure, we hide it, deny it, fear it, ignore it, and hate it. And we don't know that it can actually be our best friend ever. Failure can be your best friend if we change the way we look at it. So for some of us, maybe you're trying to impress a girl and you say to her, you look really big in that dress. I dig that dress. I always mess it up. You know, it's never working. I'm always saying the wrong things, you know. So it's so easy. Say you're doing business and you can say, I know the economy's not going well, but if I did that 2 years ago, if I did that 3 years ago, it could have been better, but I didn't. So you keep on hitting yourself over the head. Or maybe you've been through a divorce and yeah, you can really start thinking, well, maybe it's true what he said or she said. Maybe it is all my fault. And those things can live with us for the rest of our lives unless we realize the truth. So we beat ourselves up in the end, and we start agreeing with the enemy. You know, it's like you're down. Then you come in with the elbow on yourself. You know, you take yourself down. Pain. Feel the pain. More pain. Pain's good for you. You're nothing. You're nobody. You feel it, you know. You can actually start hating yourself. And so failure speaks to us loudly. But there's something that speaks louder. So it changes our perspective. It's like falling into a pit of darkness. All you see is the negatives. All you see is the wrong. All you see is the bad. And it becomes a graveyard. Many a man and woman have made the grave in the valley of failure. Here lies my destiny. It was fun while it lasted. I was naive. Should have known better. Here lies my faith. I was just stupid. I felt like that. All my hopes, all my dreams, I was thinking maybe everything was a lie. Everything was a lie. In the valley of failure, you think everything that's good and positive just feels like a lie. And the result is you start dreaming small. You make your dreams a little bit smaller. Maybe you have no dreams. You're just trying to cope. God wants us to dream big. He wants us to dream huge. So this is the perception change. It's the valley of failure is the birthplace of the mighty. You know, failure comes and says, hey, buddy, you and me, I can see you stuffed up, eh? I'm going to be your best buddy from now on. I'm going to remind you for the rest of your life. Everything you've done wrong, everything that's gone wrong. Why don't I have a husband? Well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Why don't I have a wife? Maybe there's something wrong with me. Why don't I have kids? God has punished me. Why am I sick? Because there's something. I've seen with people that get ill in their physical bodies, they start blaming themselves. So I'm saying there's something wrong with me. It's a lie. Give failure the shock of his life. Say, hey, buddy, you are my best friend. He said, what's wrong with you? My God is greater. My God is greater. Make him your best friend. Make failure your friend. Give him the shock of your life. I have found that failure can be the best teacher in the whole world. Nothing teaches as well as failure. It teaches us about ourselves. It gives us new perspective on life if we allow a godly perspective. It certainly encourages humility. Would you agree? It certainly encourages humility. You know, for me, when I now see God healing people, I mean, and touching lives in the way that he's doing, I'll never forget the failures. I'll never forget how much I need God. I'll never forget how desperately I realize I need you, God. And that's where I think failures taught me the most. I really need God. Without him, I can do nothing. So, could failure be the biggest gift of your life? Yes, it could. 18-year-old young man, messing up in my life, first year at university, things going sour with my girlfriend, with my friends, on lots of levels. Do you know that was the biggest gift God ever gave me, allowed me to experience? Why? In that moment, I took a real long look at myself and realized I need God. Do you realize you need God? Do you really know that you need God? That is the best thing failure can ever teach us. On your own, you are lost. You are a failure. With him, you can change the world. Have your failures taught you? Have you looked at it? Has failure spoken to you? Then you want to high-five failure and say, thank you. You know, if everything went well, I would have been proud and arrogant. I'd say, nah, this is Jesus and nonsense. Failure is one of the best gifts God can give us on our way to overcoming. Failure is simply practice for success. Imagine yourself being a spear-throwing warrior. So you are now going for your target. You are practicing. You're going for it. And you throw. You miss. No. I missed. No, man. Hoy again. Go for it again. So many of us step out. We try things in life. We fail. And we stop trying. Get up. Go for it again. You will never come to true success without going through the valley of failure. Failure is a stepping stone to success. So what is the key? Failure speaks loudly to us. The Word of God speaks louder. The Word of God speaks louder. God is pursuing you right now. God is pursuing you right now. He is trying to get your attention. And yes, you are maybe a Christian. You follow God. He's still trying to get your attention. He's trying to say to you, there is more. I want to do more in you and through you. So I remember I was in Stellenbosch. I was doing my job. And I was thinking, I'm never ever again going to be in the ministry. I'm never going to do great things for God. And in the middle of the worship, there was a lady, one of the intercessors, one of the prayers at our church. Her name is Karen. She's currently in Australia. She called me and Sonica out of the worship, and we went outside. And then she spoke to me. And she said she saw a picture of me like a huge jackhammer breaking open the ground, tough ground. And then the Lord saying, return to my power. return to my power. And at times I've given up. And from there the Lord started to work with me and change me. You should have been there in Cape Town this week. It was incredible to see how God revealed himself in Shofar Cape Town. It was incredible to see the Lord gave me seven or eight words of knowledge. Words of knowledge is you know stuff you're not supposed to know. And seven of the eight were correct. The eighth one was for humility. But it was incredible to see people coming forward, people being prayed for, and on the spot being healed, being touched. People crying, saying they haven't cried in years, and God was just touching them, changing them. On Wednesday evening, we had a time where a school of the supernatural, or cultivating a life of the supernatural, with all the small groups at Shofar Cape Town. In the end, we had everybody that was sick raise their hands, and everybody made groups around them. And we just trusted God for healing, and then six or seven testimonies came out. The one girl has had sinus problems now for 3 months. While they prayed for it, cleared up completely. Another person's ankle was badly messed up for a few years. The Lord touched. Another guy had back problems also now for some time, and as they prayed, the pain just disappeared. Somebody else had hearing issues, and God touched them, etc., etc. And I'm just thinking, God, you are so good. And I'm remembering my stuff-ups of the past. And I'm thanking you for what you are doing and for where you're taking me. And taking so many of us. But you have to go through that valley of failure to come to the breakthrough. So failure speaks loudly. But the Word of God speaks even louder. Why? The Word of God is like a sword. You want to take down the giant, you need a word. You need a sword. When you're in your valley of failure and you think you're a loser, there's no way out of here, never going to change the world, no ways, then you have to see it from God's perspective, who sees the big picture, and then he speaks into your situation. He says, your valley is about to end. I see it just around the corner. Keep going. As somebody said, when you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. When you're going through your trials and your challenges, just seek God and say, how are you seeing the situation? You're seeing it differently. You're seeing it, it's going to form me, mold me, change me, and prepare me for the fullness of God. God wants to do great things, but we need to make failure our friend. Make failure our friend. Our God is greater than our buddy failure. Our God is greater than our buddy failure. So encountering God, I'm ending off with a few verses concerning the life of Peter. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Now this is where Jesus calls his disciples. This is the first time Peter encounters God through Jesus Christ. And it says, so Jesus got into his boat and Jesus was preaching from his boat. And then it says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master. And so Jesus asked them to throw out your nets again, go fish. And then Peter says, Master, we have toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So Peter's saying, the rabbi, he doesn't really know much, does he? I'm the fisher. I'm the pro. Okay, I'm the professional. I've been here, done this. I know how fishing works. But okay. Jesus, if you say so, if your words, okay, well, let me just show you. This isn't going to work, okay? Verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So much fish that the boat begins to sink. Who showed who? I think God loves to do that. So you're arguing with me. Okay, you don't think it's going to work, but my word says. And so Peter and these guys get the shock of their lives. They did according to the word of God. This incredible miracle happens. And then in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, saw the fish. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. What an amazing response. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. God is like saying, "Lord, what are you doing here with me?" I mean, I can assume Peter hasn't seen a miracle in his life. He's saying, "God, no, you're a holy man. What are you doing with me? I'm a nobody. I'm a mediocre guy. I've never done anything great in my life. The opposite is true. I'm known for my brawls in the pubs. I'm known for my cussing. I'm known for stuffing up everything I do. I talk too quickly. Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing with me? Why are you choosing me?" And right there, Jesus called him. He calls him. There are so many of us that would respond the same way. Say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, you've got the wrong guy. Jesus, you've got the wrong guy. I'm a nobody. Never done anything great in my life. What are you doing with me?" Yet Jesus' words to him is, "Peter, from now on you'll catch men. Peter, you're going to be a rock. Peter, you're going to change the world. Peter, I'm going to build my church through you. Peter, you're going to initiate a move of God that will spread the globe. Why? Because I say so, Peter. Because my word says it about your life." So what does God's word say about your life? What are the thoughts going through your head? When you look in the mirror, if Jesus would appear to you, you say, "You've got the wrong person. Not me. Look at all my stuff-ups." Jesus is saying, "I'm so thankful for all your stuff-ups, Peter. You're going to be humble. You're going to be humble when I move powerfully through your life." I believe the Lord is pursuing each and every one of us. He's wanting to get our attention. He's wanting to say, "Stop allowing your failures to inhibit you. Stop allowing your past to define you. Let me define you. Let my word define you. Let me come and pick you up, take you higher to another level where you can see what I'm seeing. With me, you can change the world." That's what the word says. "For with God, all things are possible." Let's say that. "For with God, all things are possible." This needs to live in your heart. This needs to live in your heart. You should see how weird it's been for me. Now I'm in Stellenbosch in Cape Town, and I'm looking at my own friends. My friend is saying, "You've changed. You are not the same man." God wants to do it in all of our lives and take us forward. I believe that God is going to start a ripple effect through this church to the whole Shofar group of churches and beyond. But he's waiting for the mighty to arise. He's waiting for people to say, "Lord, your word sounds nuts, but okay, fishing, let's go fish." And see the miracle working power of God. God wants to do incredible things in us, through us. Last verse, God's word causes the dead to rise. John 5:21. "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." As the Father raises the dead, physically dead, spiritually dead, emotionally dead, relationally dead, business dead, or dead, and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So it's so easy to say, "God, it's too far gone. It's just not possible anymore. Business has gone too far. Marriage has gone too far. Disease has gone too far. Jesus was dead in the grave, hung on the cross, dead in the grave. Was it game over? Yep. But the word of God said, on the third day he will rise. On the third day he will rise. The word of God said he will go to the cross and he will die. But on the third day he will rise. And according to the word of God, it was so. So have you had an encounter with God? Have you had an encounter with him where you know, I have met with a living God, where you have to cry, God, I'm a sinner. Without you, I'm nothing. But yet, God, you're calling me, so I'm coming. Have you had your encounter? I believe we're going to see things that we never dreamed we would see through you, through me, through us. I don't know, there's something stirring on the inside of me that I'm starting to agree with God. Okay, God, you're saying going to the nations, yes. Changing the world, yes. Impacting the city, yes. Whatever you say, God, let's do it. But faith needs to rise up on the inside of us. Faith needs to rise up on the inside of us where each and every one of us can say, I am called of God. For what? Sit in church every Sunday? No. So much more. So much more. And that's my prayer for us, that God would start turning us on the inside to start saying, I declare that my past and my failures will not define me. It is God who defines me and calls me and leads me forth. So what does the cross symbolize? Ending off with this. Greatest failure ever. Jesus dying on a cross. Greatest failure ever that became the greatest victory ever, because the word of God said he will rise. So I want to say, through the power of God, your worst failure, personal failure, whatever failure, moral failure, relational failure, business failure, your greatest failure can become your greatest victory through the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is God's heart. I so believe God is wanting to flip some of us around, to turn us around. I've shared this before, but I want to just share this again. It's just really spoke to me. I was still in Stellenbosch, and Sonica, we were on holiday, and then we drove back from Neisner. And I'll never forget this, because this, I shared it with the MTP guys on Monday evening, and There was the word of God that came that flipped my life around. I remember I was driving in my car, we're driving together, and suddenly I just started to weep under the power and presence of God as it was filling the vehicle. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to transform you. You will not recognize yourself in a few years. And I'm going to do this and this and this through you. That was my encounter, one of my encounters with God. Have you encountered him? Do you desire it? Is it stirring on the inside of you to have God Almighty reveal to you why he made you? Why he brought you into this world? Why he's given you your specific makeup, talents, and abilities? Do you know why you are breathing today? Do you know? Or are you just existing? Going through the motions. Or is there a burning vision on the inside of you that draws you forward, that draws you to step out, that draws you to make a difference in this world? Do you have a burning vision? I believe God wants to give you a burning vision, a burning vision. You can't contain yourself. As the prophet said in the Old Testament, there's fire in my bones. I cannot help myself. I must tell someone. I must tell someone. I believe God's going to flip some of us around. He's going to transform us. God is going to transform us. I believe his presence is going to impact our hearts and our lives so powerfully that your eyes are going to open up. You're going to see, okay, God, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. The Creator God reveals to you why you breathe. Hallelujah. Let me just read that verse one more time. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. I'm so excited about the worship team. I don't know about you, but I am seeing incredible things in these people. I am seeing Lord flipping these worship leaders and musicians' lives around. I am seeing God stirring on the inside of them a faith that they didn't have 2 years ago or ever dreamt they would have. I see God doing it in so many of us. I believe this is a new season. I believe this is a season where the mighty will arise. I believe this is a time where we will start putting our faith together and say, God, let's change East London. Let's change the schools of East London. Let God just come and do what you want to do. Let's overcome the giants on the inside of us. Let's cut their heads off, spiritually speaking. Let's see God invade our world. I long for this. I absolutely long for this. I want to see God invade. I want to see God invade our lives and this world. Do you long for that? Because it must be a burning vision on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to pray for some people now. Next week, we're going to be speaking about overcoming the mountain of man's opinion. How do you handle that mountain? So I just want to pray for us, and then we're just going to give an opportunity to respond. I really feel God is here. I really sense the presence of God is here to come and bring life to the dead on the inside or even physically. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that there are mighty men and women sitting here this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for what you are stirring on the inside of us. A hunger to see you invade our world, invade our lives, invade our hearts, invade our families, invade our thinking. God, Holy Spirit, just come and fill this house right now. Just come and bring life to every dead area in our lives. God, where there's hopelessness, bring hope. For our God is greater. Lord, where there's despair and darkness, bring life and light. Because our God is greater. Lord, where there is marital conflict and disappointments, God, reconcile. Because our God is greater. Lord, we're standing at the end of our debt limits. And we don't know how we're going to get out. Lord, may we speak to that mountain and see it move. For our God is greater. God, stir us. Awaken the sleeping. Awaken the sleeping. The blind. The indifferent. The selfish. God, awaken us that a river of life may flow through this church like never before. And we never dreamt possible. The Lord is awakening us. I speak to every heart. I speak to every spirit man. Awake. Awake to destiny. Awake to calling. Awake to what's possible. Awake to the compassion of the living God that burns, that cries for a messed up world that needs Him. Lord, let the dead come to life. Let the dead come to life. Believe. Believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Jesus, I know you are calling each and every one of us. You are calling us. Let the mighty arise. Hallelujah, Jesus, we worship you. Please stand with me. I'm so trusting that God would just deposit something into your spirit, into your heart. I sense God is saying, I am awakening the mighty men. I sense the Lord is saying, like with David, 300 misfits, nobodies, they became mighty men. They changed the world. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up in Jesus' name. I want to ask this morning, if you are here and you've never had an encounter with God, you've never, like Peter, gone, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve you, Jesus. And he saves us. He calls us in the midst of our mess. Have you had an encounter with him? Have you met with him? Or are you just being religious? I just ask, if you have not had that encounter with him and you want this morning, would you just raise your hand? God, let your life flow through this house this morning, Lord. The Lord is unblocking wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else, you just know you have not had that encounter. And just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. God, we worship your name. Thank you, Lord, right now, God. I said, believe the Lord is saying he's going to release wells of compassion. In this house, we will weep. We will weep for those who do not know him. And we will weep for those who are sick and broken in their bodies. And we will weep. And I said, God's going to release healing and restoration out of our tears, out of his compassion. Can I ask, if you raised your hand, could you just quickly come forward that we can pray with you? It's about 7 or 8 people that raised their hands. Just quickly come. We just want to pray with you. And some of the counselors will come forward as well. If you raise your hand, guys, just come quickly. Just come. If you know you need to be here, if you know that you've not had an encounter with the living God, you've not, like Peter said, God, I'm a sinful man. I need your forgiveness. I need you to awaken me on the inside. God, we bless you. And if I can ask, I just feel we need to pray for people that are sick. If you are sick in your body, can you go to my left? We want to pray with you. Physical ailments. We had about 11 people healed this past week in their physical bodies. Then just go stand to my left. And then another group, if you have had failure in your life and it's haunting you, it is still haunting you, this failure, whatever it might be, then please come and stand on my right-hand side. I want to pray with you. Failure, that you need victory over that area of your life. Just come and stand on my right-hand side. God, we bless your name. Lord, let the dead come to life. We're just going to pray with these precious people first, and then we're going to trust that God will bring an encounter to them on the inside. Let's just pray together and say, Father God, let's all pray this together. Father God, thank you for your amazing love. Lord, I want to encounter you like Peter encountered you. Lord, I want to realize how much I need you, how lost I am without you. I surrender my heart to you. Wash me clean with your precious blood. Make me new. Let the dead come to life. I say yes. I say yes to the calling of God upon my life. Jesus, I will follow you all my days. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just before we pray for them, I want to agree with what Cindy said. Without the Holy Spirit, we're dead. God is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is here. So I just want us to pray a prayer where we welcome the presence of God into our lives, into this church, and into our businesses, and into our families. So just pray the following prayer with me and say, Father God, I thank you for your gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, your people. Holy Spirit, welcome. Invade. Invade our lives. Invade our world. Cause us to come to life. Presence of God, come. Come. Just in your own words, just say, speak to the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, who is God. Say, Holy Spirit, welcome. Make us alive. Make us alive. Thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Thank you for every soul you have saved. Thank you for every life you have touched, each and every one of us. God, we want all of you. see a picture of a gushing river of the Spirit on its way. Flow over us and bring life. Let it be, Lord. We hunger for more of you, O God. Just allow him to touch you. Just allow him to touch you. Okay, somebody just felt that there's somebody that has a bad knee. And we need to pray for you. Is there anybody with a bad knee that needs healing? Anybody? Anybody else? Your knee over there and there. Okay. We're going to pray with you now. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We bless you, Lord. Have your way in us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this new season right now, God. We pray your blessing, Lord, upon each and every one here in the front, God. We pray, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay, we're going to be praying with you guys now. I just want to pray for the life groups for this next 8-9 weeks. We want to encourage you, if you're not slotted in yet, to go to the table at the back and sign up for one. Father, we just pray your blessing on the life groups beginning this Tuesday or Wednesday evening. God, may it be an incredible time of fellowship, an incredible time of growth, an incredible time of life change. God, we bless you. Thank you for this new season, Lord. May we all experience it as life changing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.